Welcome, everybody, to the NFL Show on the Grueling Truth Sports Network. The NFL Show is brought to you by Path of Purity. It's the world's only full-spectrum 50-milligram CBD tablet with a built-in two-stage delivery system tied to how our bodies work for optimal bioavailability and absorption. Made from the ground up using specifically bred premium source cultivars for a superior entourage effect. What that means is, and I've taken this before, Path to Purity, it's the best CBD on the market. I'm not just saying that. And if I don't believe in something, I'm not going to go ahead and support it. But the great thing about this is you put a pill under your tongue, it dissolves, and then it actually times release over the entire day. So you're not just getting the CBD right then. It absorbs immediately into your system. You feel the effect then, and you feel the effect 12 hours later. And Replenishing Carrot Technologies is a personal best performance and personal best fitness system that helps people perform at their best by helping their bodies heal and repair at their best. A lot of NFL players and NHL players use it and other RCANT methods to train, play, and recover at their best and promote their long-term health. You can check Replenishing Care out at rcandt.com. And of course, you can check out the Path of Purity .direct/replenishingcare/. That's a lot of words, Sam. And it's a great product. I highly recommend it. I don't even know if we're live on Facebook right now because I just got a message from Restream saying they're having a hard time with Facebook streams. So everybody can watch the show later, I guess, instead of live. But today, I am Mike Goodpaster. Of course, Sam Teets is with me. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. They got their ass beat by the Cleveland Browns. I just wanted to bring that up, and I will bring it up for the next 300 and, well, probably the rest of Sam's life because they lost to the Cleveland Browns. Today, we're going to go over Sam Teets' mock draft, which you can see on thegruelingtruth.com. See, it says Sam Teets 2021 NFL Mock Draft 1.0. Three wide receivers go in the top 10. Sam, when we look at your mock draft, is this what you believe teams should do, or is this what you believe teams will do?
More so right now, along this, I believe teams will do. Eventually, I'll develop to a level of comfort where I'll start doing it what I would do personally. But I haven't been able to look at every player in the dynasty yet, so I don't really know. Well, saying what I would make in terms of decisions right now, but this is what I believe teams will do to try out based on what the needs they have based on the directions that are headed.
All right, let's slide down and look at your top three or four. And we've got number one, of course, Trevor. Go ahead.
No, I mean, if it's Trevor Lawrence at number one. And did you hear the news earlier today? Apparently, Urban Meyer and Jacksonville Jaguars are in advanced talks for him becoming new head coach. It's not done yet, but it sounds like Urban Meyer's job from Jacksonville, actually.
Yeah, and I disagree with the generational talent with Trevor Lawrence. Generation talents, to me, it's hard to be when you just had one in Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow, I think, is infinitely better at this point in his career than Trevor Lawrence. I think Andrew Luck, John Elway, those guys were generational talents. I think Trevor Lawrence is a guy that has a lot of talent. I don't know that he is a can't-miss project, though.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm looking back at some of the prospects from the past decade or so, and there are only maybe five or six that I really feel comfortable with saying that they were can't-miss kind of guys. Joe Burrow is one of them. Andrew Luck is another. I know Deshaun Watson was, like, not taken in his draft or whatever, but Deshaun, for me, was a very comfortable prospect in terms of what Houston put into him.
Yeah, but how about this? When you say five or six, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was not considered that coming out of college. Russell Wilson wasn't considered that coming out of college. Drew Brees wasn't considered that. Tom Brady wasn't considered that. There's very few guys that are generational talents. Trevor Lawrence is a guy that when I watch him, I don't think, well, this is a guy that can't miss. I think this guy is a can't miss if you put him in the proper situation. I don't know that Jacksonville is that. They need a lot there. They've got a lot of cap space. And you're going to put him with a college football coach. That to me doesn't look real promising. I think if he was to drop to three and the Miami Dolphins would take him, he would be a can't miss.
Yeah. No, I don't think Urban Meyer is the right coach for the job. And right now the owners are interesting because I don't think they have filled the job there. And the owners have a lot of control over the play right now. And if they're going to keep that, I really don't like Trevor Lawrence's chances because Jacksonville, with Urban and him, the owners, I just don't know. I don't have faith in those people. A group of people I believe will be good leaders for a team.
All right, number two, you got the New York Jets taking Zach Wilson. I think Sam Darnold is the guy you should take here, and I'm confident they won't keep Sam Darnold. They'll probably get off of him. You think Zach Wilson goes over Justin Fields here?
Yeah, I do, because when I watch Zach Wilson, I have put a little more time and effort into watching Zach Wilson since the last time we talked about him. Like you told me earlier, to move out of the pocket, extend plays, but find guys downfield. And it reminds me a little bit of what Wilson does and the ability to have the athleticism and move outside the pocket, extend those plays, but be looking downfield while you're doing it instead of someone like Lamar Jackson, who when he tucks, he's going to run. He's not looking to extend the play. So I think that's a little bit of the difference with Zach Wilson. And I said he's got a little bit of the speed, the short-term quickness of a Kyler Murray type figure, but he's got much. So when he's throwing from the pocket, have the difficulties that someone like Kyler Murray does.
Yeah, and I think with him, he reads the field better than Trevor Lawrence. And I think that he has better feel in the pocket than Trevor Lawrence. I think Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in this draft. So with that being said, I'm the Jets. I would take Zach Wilson here and get rid of Sam Darnold just because I do think in the long run, Zach Wilson will be better. If Zach Wilson was to go number one or Justin Fields was to go number one and I was the Jets, I would keep Sam Darnold instead of going with Trevor Lawrence.
You're not just saying that now, are you? You actually believe that?
No, I actually believe that. I believe Sam Darnold in the right situation has more upside potential than Trevor Lawrence. I think this is the thing about him. Last year, he was successful on a bad football team where he won 6 out of 7 games. Trevor Lawrence, it's kind of like the Alabama quarterback, Mac Jones, or any Alabama quarterback. You've got so much talent there. All you've got to do is distribute the ball. And, you know, you're not going to have coverages in college that are going to lock you up. So you've got to throw somebody open. Do you really see Trevor Lawrence throw people open that much? And I know that his receivers are usually so good he doesn't have to, but I think that's a question. When I watch the film, I don't see a lot of cases where he throws a guy open.
It may be true, but he's working with Amari Rodgers and Cornell Powell this year. He wasn't exactly working with Justin Ross and T. Higgins.
That is kind of
a very different situation here.
That is my point, and he wasn't as good. And it was against a weak schedule.
That's fair. I could see what you're saying. I mean, I guess you could say Zach Wilson worked with less talent around him during his career. So I could see why you're saying Zach Wilson would be better. But Sam Darnold had similar concerns at USC. Sam Darnold had a ball in his final year of college, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, I still have concerns about Sam Darnold. I would take Zach Wilson over either one of them. But I'm telling you right now, I think Sam Darnold mentally is more ready to be the quarterback in New York. He knows what it entails. He played at USC, which is a high-profile program in a big city. You know, in LA, USC is considered a legit program. There's a lot more pressure being the quarterback at USC than there is at Clemson.
Well, maybe from, like, the local area, but probably not nationally. Clemson is expected to win a title every year at this point. Clemson is expected to be a top three program here at this point.
But what I'm saying is this. USC expects that too. The LA press expects that too. And when they don't do that, that's a lot of pressure.
I understand that.
I'm talking about internal pressure from local media, not maybe nationally. All right, you go to number three. You got Ja'Marr Chase. Everybody, you know, crapped their pants when they saw Alabama's Heisman Trophy winner play. You have Chase ranked higher than him. I agree with you. And the reason I say that is I just like Chase's size. I mean, Smith looks like he's like 5'7" and weighs 180 pounds.
Yeah, no, Smith, I think, is officially listed like 6'1", maybe like 185, 180 pounds. I just like Ja'Marr Chase because of the size. I mean, Devontae Smith, he might be fine. He might never deal with injuries at the NFL level. But he's a little bit – I've never seen a receiver come to the pros at level with that and be like potentially a top 10 pick. So I feel a little less comfortable with him if I'm actor. And that's Ja'Marr Chase. I haven't seen him play football in a year. But if we just look back and remember the season he had last year, it was very close to what Devonta Smith had this season. So I think to me, Jamar Chase is worth a top three pick.
Yeah, and also that season was close. I mean, if you take Justin Jefferson off that team, maybe Jamar Chase could have won the Heisman. But let's face it, Joe Burrow threw like 600 touchdown passes last year. He was getting it anyway. Number four, Justin Fields. That will surprise people because you got Matt Ryan there. Does that mean you're giving up? Or do you have a long-term plan to transition year two, maybe, from Ryan to Fields?
I don't think you've made up your mind yet. I think if you're Atlanta, you will have Matt Ryan around for at least one more year, I believe. You're not going to throw Justin Fields in it the way it is right now. So you're going to have Ryan around for at least one more season. My concern is right now, if you look at the way the Falcons are built, they don't have a general manager. They don't have a head coach, I don't think. And the way they're built right now, they're not going to win a Super Bowl or be competitive and get close to winning a Super Bowl during the remainder of Matt Ryan's or Julio Jones' primes. They're not going to get built to win right now. They don't have a defense. The offensive line isn't scratched. They don't have a running game. This is a team that needs to start rebuilding and rebelling quickly. Maybe in that case, you can make a sense that Penei Sewell would be a better option here to build the offensive lineup first. But I think Atlanta will try to look for the long-term future here and get a quarterback.
I don't know about that one, Sam. I mean, because number one, your long-term future is not going to be Justin Fields if you want to be successful. But the Falcons are stupid. And I would also make this case. If I'm picking a quarterback at number four, he better be able to start right away. I shouldn't need to groom him if he's going number four.
No, I understand what you're saying there. I've agreed with you in the past on this. But at the same time, this is not unheralded territory. I mean, Justin Herbert was number six this past year. Justin Herbert was not supposed to start for most of the season. He only came in because Tyrod Taylor got hurt because of the, something like that. He had like a cracked rib or a bad injection into his ribs at that point. And then Herbert came in and played. So I think this is not a situation where it'd be unheard of to have somebody get taken and sit for a little while. I think quarterback, regardless, it might not be at four. Maybe they'll trade back. I didn't include any trades in this mock, but I think Atlanta will take a quarterback here at some point in this draft. Very high up in the first two rounds.
All right, number five, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. That'll make all Bengal fans happy, I believe, even though a lot of them are freaking out about Smith. To me, if I'm the Bengals, if Chase is there, I'd have a hard time not taking him just because of the relationship with Burrow. But if Sewell is there, he has to be taken. Now, I don't think he is the slam dunk, no doubt, greatest offensive tackle that ever lived outside of Anthony Munoz that a lot of people do. I think I see issues a little bit with hand placement. I think he plays a little high sometimes. That all can be fixed. The Bengals did get Frank Pollock, who is a very good offensive line coach. I can't believe I'm complimenting the Bengals for a hire, but I think they do have the right man to be the O-line coach. So I think this is a no-brainer if Sewell's there at five for the Bengals.
Yeah, I think so too. And if you get him at five value, I know you said there's some risks here, some potential down pitfalls, but fifth overall for this kind of guy, there's not a tackle I would say would be higher rated than Sewell, even taking into account any potential flaws he has. And fifth overall, if you get him, put him next to Jonah Williams, you have bookend tackles for the next 5 to 10 years. That's exactly what you've been missing.
I mean, the hope for me is that Jonah Williams was screwed up because Jim Turner, the Bengals offensive line coach the last 2 years, was terrible. I think that's possible. Jonah Williams dominated at Alabama. This ain't Alabama, though. No matter what Bama fans think, you can't beat an NFL team. So I think Sewell is the no-brainer here. And then if Jonah Williams can improve under Frank Pollock, you got bookend tackles. You got Joe Burrow. Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be last for a long time in the AFC North. Number six, the Philadelphia Eagles, Devontae Smith. What are the Eagles going to do at quarterback? Are they going to ride with Jalen Hurts, or are they going to go with Carson Wentz?
I can go with Carson Wentz, and Doug Peterson losing his job partially signaled the likelihood that Wentz will remain with the team into next season and probably be the start. It's going to be a quarterback competition. I can't imagine you'll just hand him the job again. There's going to be a QB competition, but I still believe that Carson Wentz can win that job back. And regardless of what anyone wants or what anyone thinks, both Wentz and Hurts are going to be on the roster next year, at the opening week at least. So they're going to have both those quarterbacks. Philadelphia's biggest flaw to me has not been supporting those quarterbacks enough. They're going to get a lot of offensive linemen back from injuries. But their top receiver last year was Travis Fulgham. And Fulgham didn't even play most of the season. He was benched basically for like the final 6 or 7 weeks of the year. He's still a top receiver, so I think they need to add a receiver threat here. They drafted Jalen Reagor in the first round last season against the advice of some scouts who really wanted Justin Jefferson, who turned out to be one of the best wide receivers in a long time. I think they have to take someone like Devonta Smith here, or they're going to try and grab a receiver. So they don't take one, to fix that receiving core. They're never going to get anything out of their quarterbacks.
All right. I will say this. Also, I wanted to throw this in. I watched a lot of Tua's film from the NFL. I would take Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence if I was Miami. Tua's not it.
Really?
I like Tua coming out of college, and I'm going to admit right now I was wrong, and Tua Tagovailoa is not a quarterback of the future. He's not a big-time quarterback, and it's going to hold that franchise back the longer they continue to run with him, but that's just my opinion. Number seven, the Detroit Lions, Jalen Waddle. I think this, and this may sound crazy, but I think Waddle could end up being better than Smith.
No, I've heard that from multiple sources already. I've heard multiple people say that because he's, well, first off, built more prototypical than someone like Devontae Smith. He also has better physical traits in terms of the speed, elusiveness, also some of the times the route running. You see a flash is a bit where Devontae Smith might lack, but Waddle has. My biggest concern, though, is that last year, Henry Ruggs was the flashier prospect than someone like Jerry Jeudy, where Jerry Jeudy was the better route runner, and Jerry Jeudy had more production in college. Henry Ruggs is not a wide receiver one. He might not even be a wide receiver two in the NFL. So my concern is taking someone who you're basically basing physical traits on and speed and that kind of stuff versus the kind of guy who's shown the production, the capabilities of performing throughout an entire college season. Jalen Waddle's never had an 1,000-yard season. Devontae Smith has two of them.
Well, I can tell you this. I would still pick Smith over Waddle. I would just say, don't be surprised if Waddle ends up being better. My question with Smith is what happens when you get a big physical NFL corner on him jamming him? Can he get off of that? Because when I watched Ohio State's corners and safeties try to jam him, he would just make a move, and they would never even touch him, and he would just run around them. That's not going to happen in the NFL.
No, people think people forget. When people say, like Alabama could beat an NFL team. No, they can't have at any given time. Six or seven, maybe even 10. If you want to talk offensive defense, maybe 10 or 11 guys who are NFL ready on the. Every team in the NFL has that 1% of talent taken from college put into the NFL. Those guys are on NFL rosters. So it's not going to be like a cakewalk, even for the top prospects, because they're playing against guys who are leagues ahead of most of what they faced during the college football season.
All right, where are we at here? Number seven, the Detroit Lions, or not Detroit. Number eight, the Carolina Panthers. This is what I would do if I was Detroit. I would take this pick. I would take Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, because the Lions, damn, you ain't winning nothing. You got to start up front. You want to build a team, you got to start up front. And I know a linebacker's not up front, but he's part of your front seven. I think this would be a solid draft pick for Carolina.
Yeah, and the Panthers, they haven't had an open spot with Tyre Whitehead entering free agency. High value linebacker. You've been looking for a guy to lead your defense since Luke Kuechly retired. You did draft Derek Brown last year and spent a lot of picks, including one on Jeremy Chinn, who also plays linebacker, building a good defense. And I think Parsons is just kind of a transcendent player who could be this perennial all-pro type player. Passing up on him, I'm half taking here of Carolina. You have the opening. He's the kind of player who could be a game changer for your roster. I don't know why you would pass him.
All right, next up, we are the Dallas Cowboys, Christian Darrisaw. This is a team that definitely needs offensive tackles. They need offensive linemen right now. Who would have thought we'd been saying that 3 or 4 years ago, Sam?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Lines for 3 or 4 years ago, including Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, they're starting to crumble. You have to rebuild these lines every 5 or 6 years. The Dallas Cowboys, they just had Tyron Smith miss, like, 13 games this year or something like that. He missed plenty of games. He's missed games in the past as well, and he's well over the hill at this point, even though he's, like, 31. Lyle Collins, the right tackle, missed the entire season. He's got a history of injuries. So even if you take Darrisaw and maybe he, I don't know, worst case scenario, you play him at guard for a year, and then you move him outside. But I think this is a guy who could be a plug-and-play starter and has potentially the highest ceiling of anyone other than Penei Sewell at the tackle position in this draft.
All righty, let's go to number 11, the New York Giants. Kwity Paye, edge rusher out of Michigan. What's your take on Kwity Paye?
Yeah, I just think the Giants, they need more of a pass rush. Now, I'd be interested because I don't think he 100% fits their scheme right now defensively. But they are missing pass rush. Even though Leonard Williams had over this past year, they didn't have many other guys who got anywhere near the quarterback. In the past, when they've won Super when they played, it's because they had good pass rushers. Think about the mid-2000s, early 2010s when they had everyone from Michael Strahan to Justin Tuck to OCU Mura to Jason, those guys, they don't have players like that right now. And because of that, the defense is suffering and the whole team isn't playing that well. I understand the offense is a big concern, but I think you have to, if you build up that defensive front, the rest will come. You also want a little bit as well, but you can do that later in the draft.
All right. I like Payne. Do you think he is better than Gregory Rousseau?
I think he's a little more – I think his ceiling's higher. I don't know if I like him much better than Gregory Rousseau. I think Rousseau proved a little bit more to me in college, but I think when we're talking about how it could translate to the NFL. So there's a little bit of caution to that because that doesn't always work out.
But it's got to worry you didn't play in the 2020 season either.
Well, yeah, but also, Jamar Chase, and at this point, we have to it's difficult. You're right. It's unusual to have guys sit out for an entire season, not have a year of tape on them. But teams are going to move forward and still going to take these guys, even if they haven't played.
Yeah, but it's still a concern, I would think.
No, it's still something you have to look for when you get a guy in. And hopefully you see a pro day or a private workout or something like that so you can get a look and feel for what that 1 year off might have done to them.
That means absolutely nothing. Who gives a damn about a pro day? They're running around in shorts.
Yeah. I guess it's basically a smaller version of the combine.
Well, it's just stupid. Did we pass Patrick Surtain? We had to have skipped him at some point, didn't we?
Oh, Denver. Yeah, we did. All right. I mean, that's also a pretty simple pick. I mean, yeah. SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Alabama corner. The Broncos have Bryce Callahan and no one else really for cornerbacks right now. And I think at number 9, good value. You're not taking a risk like someone did for Jeffrey Okuda last year. It was 3 for Detroit. Again, number 9, great value pick. Top cornerback in the class by far. And I think for Denver, another solid piece for your defense that should be getting Von Miller back.
All right, next up, you've got Virginia Tech's Caleb Farley going to the San Francisco 49ers. I guess that is to replace Sherman or Richard Sherman.
Yeah, and that defense is going to be really good next year once they get Bosa back and all these players that had suffered injuries. Sherman's not going to be there. They're not going to re-sign him at this point. So you got to play him because you don't have a dominant player in that secondary, even though that defense is very good. So I think you have to find someone to replace Richard Sherman. Caleb Farley to me is corner two. And after that, it gets a little bit dicey. These are the only two guys I feel very comfortable with towards the top 12, top 13 picks in the draft. So they could go for him. And if he pans out, you have a defender, even if Robert Saleh leaves somewhere else.
All right, I disagree. I think J.C. Horn is the number two guy.
Oh, you like more. I mean, we have like maybe 16 down here. But, yeah, he's another guy who's raised a lot of attention the past year, I should say.
Well, the thing about Horn to me was his best games, one of them was against Florida, and nobody did anything against Florida. And he was really good shutting down Seth Williams and Auburn. I think he's better. I think you have questions here that Farley looks kind of like a one-year wonder. You know, he had a torn ACL and I think 17, played poorly in 18. He was excellent in 19. He sat out 2020, but I think he has physical tools. But I think that you kind of look at a one-year wonder, and he's flagged with durability issues. I think that he gets drafted probably between 20 and 32, but I think this would be way too high for him.
All right, I can see where you're coming at. But my also question would be Horn. I mean, does Horn have two really good years of tape? I know he's got one this past year, but I don't know if he has two good years of tape either.
Hey, you know what? I'd rather go off of one good year of tape, shutting down Florida and Auburn, than I would tape from 2 years ago. And there's no durability issues with Horn that I know of.
No, I haven't seen any red flags about durability for Horn either. I haven't seen any kind of injury reports or anything like that. From all looks of it, he's played it the past 3 years and played fairly consistently, even though he played his best year this past season.
All right, 13, Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. To the Los
Angeles. You have to fix the offensive line if you're – if you're the Chargers, you have to fix the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line's been an issue since Phillip Rivers was there. It's been an issue for maybe the past 5 or 6 years. I still haven't fixed it yet. Slater's a guy enough that if he didn't work out at left tackle, which, by the way, Trey Pipkins started like 6 or 7 games for them last year, that's not good. So if you don't have him work out left tackle, he's good to play guard as well. This is a versatile offensive lineman. He's more polished than most players in this draft class. maybe short of Sewell. And frankly, he's not going to have the ceiling some of the guys that I've already brought up or some of the guys you might hear about later, but he's still going to be more consistent. I don't think he's going to fail in the NFL. I don't view if there's a way he's going to fail in the NFL. He is going to be a solid offensive lineman who will start for you for the next 10 years.
Well, I think he's a better fit as a guard or center. And I think he's going to be a second-round pick.
You think he's falling out of the first round? I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I can tell you this. Guards and centers are not valued as much as tackles. When I watch him play tackle at Northwestern, I don't see an NFL tackle. I think his run blocking is ahead of his pass protection. I think, you know, maybe if he plays solid in one of the All-Star games, it looks good in the combine. Maybe he can get into the bottom of the first round. But I think this guy at 6'3", 306, to me, looks like a center or a guard. And I'm just telling you, not many centers and guards get picked in the top half of the first round of the draft.
Now, if a team projects him out as a center or a guard, they're probably not going to go in the first round. I admit that. But I don't predict him out as a center or guard right now.
Well, you should, because that's all he can play. So his feet are not great. He gives up his chest. I mean, there's just things there that bother me about him. All right, 14, Gregory Rousseau, Edge Miami, where I talked about him a little bit.
And like I said, it was dominance in 20. A bit of a one-year wonder, though, to be concerned about that. Did not play in 2020. 2018, played one game. So you have to be aware. What is intriguing? The production's intriguing. And if you're Minnesota, you tried to pair Daniel Hunter with Yannick Ngakoue this past year, and obviously that didn't work. That was kind of guy who you could put alongside Hunter and have two great defensive ends the same way you did when you had Shane Griffin there.
All right, next up, you have the New England Patriots taking Trey Lance. Is that what you think should happen, or is that what you think?
Yeah, Lance
will happen.
It will happen. I think they're going to take it here in the first round. Because you look at Hood, sure, they could sign Jameis Winston or Randy Dalton or something like that. I guarantee that any one of those guys is going to be in New England more than a year or two. I don't think they would be in New England. If they really want somebody who could be the quarterback for or something like that, they're probably going to have to find that person in the draft. Unless, of course, they get Sam Darnold, which, you know, could happen, but I don't see the Jets trading within their own division. So someone like Trey Lance, a bit of a drop-off because he's only played one game this year. He's a year removed from throwing like 26 touchdowns and zero interceptions or 20 touchdowns, zero interceptions. North Dakota State prospect. Gotten because of the fact that he's only played one game this year, I think there's a chance out here and gets falls a little bit into the middle of the first round because of the three quarterbacks we already talked about. And if New England has a chance to get, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think that he's worth the pick. I like Trey Lance. I mean, Trey Lance could be better than Trevor Lawrence also. Man, I'm serious when I
there
say
you go
that.
Again.
You can laugh all you want. I will bet you anything. If Trey Lance actually goes to the New England Patriots, he'll have a better career than Trevor Lawrence because he's going to New England.
Well, he'll be coached by Bill Belichick. He'll probably win two or three Super Bowls knowing that works out.
Maybe six. Hell, last guy got drafted in the sixth round and won six. Yeah, I think Trey Lance, the only drawback is he didn't play this year. He only played the one game. Didn't look great in that game. Last year, 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. I think the thing that strikes me about him is, and this is why I would give him a shot to be better than any of these guys, is the fact that outside of Zach Wilson, there's no other guy that looks as comfortable in a pocket that's falling apart around him.
Well, that's huge.
And to me, that's huge.
Yeah. The NFL systems offensively are much different than what you can run at college. So you're going to have to be comfortable with the pocket. Those quarterbacks who are not pocket, someone like Lamar Jackson, have that extreme athleticism, you're not going to survive in the NFL.
All right, number 16, the Arizona Cardinals, J.C. Horn. We've already talked about him a little bit.
And if you said you think he's corner number two, it's a steal to Patrick Peterson. His good offseason, it wasn't that good this past year anyways. And Drake Kirkpatrick's also on the team. He's a pending free agent as well. Someone like J.C. Horn, if he's cornering him at 16th overall, that's really good value. Again, he has some good gear. I consider putting Kyle Pitts in. I haven't given Kyle Pitts out yet, and it's probably the biggest issue in my draft. I don't think Kyle Pitts is going to fall as far as he end up as he does in this one. I just couldn't find a spot for him. But I think J.C. Horn fills a more immediate need for the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and let you announce this next pick.
So, because you can't say the name, it's the Las Vegas Raiders taking Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, linebacker from Notre Dame at 17th overall. They tried signing Corey Littleton, which I thought was going to be a really good signing to help fix that back in core. It never really worked out. He had arguably his worst season as a starter. I think Owusu-Koramoah, the biggest issue for him is his size. I mean, that translates to the NFL that well. But he's got great instincts. He's a very smart player. And he's got the sideline-to-sideline speed that you might need in the middle of the field if you were the loss and you're struggling to cover people over the middle.
I'm not impressed.
Why not?
Well, number one, if your coach name is going to be hard to say his name. But really, I mean, I don't know. I think he's undersized. I don't know if he's worth that high a pick. And this is a make or break season for Gruden. I believe this. I believe if the Raiders don't make the playoffs, I believe Gruden gets fired no matter how long he's contracted or how guaranteed it is. He's still going to be in Vegas. And, you know, 2 years from now, you'll probably be able to have crowds. And they'd probably like to fill that stadium. And this is a team that the last 2 years has failed at the end of the season when it looked like they were able to do something. So I don't know. When I look at it, I think you get – man, I'll tell you, this may seem crazy. But that tight end, you know, having Waller and the other tight – I mean, before Aaron Hernandez decided to murder people, you know, Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski as a tandem was pretty damn good. And, I mean, if you're the Raiders, you can load that up. But if I was going linebacker, I'd go with Zaven Collins before I would, you know – Owusu-Koramoah, whatever the hell his name is.
That was an attempt to say his name, but I do think I do like Zaven Collins though as well. He's obviously more filled out. I have him at 18 to Miami Dolphins for a reason. The Dolphins can improve on an already decent linebacking core that's anchored by Kyle Van Noy, who's had another good season. But I think Zaven Collins, he's a 6'4", 260. That's much more impressive than what you get from Owusu-Koramoah in terms of size. And he also had the production last year, doing a little bit of everything, 4 sacks, 4 interceptions from Tulsa. So there's a chance here that if you focus on building that defense Brian Flores loves, he's a defensive guy, then you could really strong unit here in Miami, which already has a very good defensive backfield.
Yeah, I think it could be a 4-3 Sam linebacker or a Mike. I think he would be a great fit as an outside linebacker in a 3-4. Like you said, I mean, he's big, he's quick, he's versatile. He displays ability to drop into coverage. He makes tackles in the open field. He makes tackles, you know, in small, confined areas. And he can rush the passer. He can do everything. I think this, and this may sound a little crazy, Sam, but you know where I'm going with this, right? I think he's the best outside linebacker in this draft. And the thing that blows my mind is, in almost every draft rating you look at, he's ranked like number 3, 4, or 5. I think
who they have. I mean, you said outside linebacker. Who they have ahead of him?
Oh, hold on, I gotta find one.
I was gonna say I don't know. There's maybe
Gregory Rousseau, Quiddy Payne. Okay. Hold on, Rashad Weaver in this one is number 3. Yeah, they got him all the way at number 4 on this one. And they don't say nice things about him, but those people are stupid. They just sit and write stuff. They never coach football. So I don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's because Zaven Collins, he's going to be taken first round. He'll be an immediate start as well, an immediate impact player. And if he somehow fell past the middle of the first round, there'll be plenty of teams willing to take him at the back end. So he's going to be one of the best linebackers on the board. I don't think there's any way he's number 5.
All righty. Said he, you got him going at 18 to the Dolphins. That would be a great pickup for a Dolphins defense that's already good. And you start to fix that linebacker position, and then you may have a top 3 or 4 defense in the entire NFL.
That's hopefully where Brian Flores is. They have a chance to get offensive players later in the draft. They can always find a running back in the second or third round. It's a deep position. You don't need a running back right now.
All righty. Next up, was it the Washington Redskins?
Yeah, taking Jalen Mayfield, left tackle here, to kind of fill out the offensive line. And it comes partially from their decision to evaluate some that they already have on this offensive line. They've got some good guys. They've got the center they like. They got a right guard in Brandon Scherff, who's an all-pro. A right tackle in Morgan Moses, who's a good anchor. But really, if they add Mayfield to that, you have an offensive line. You're probably going to tear them apart. You know about offensive linemen than I do. But realistically,
you need a quarterback, though. You gotta have a quarterback. There's no quarterback here.
Do you want to draft Mac Jones?
Alex Smith. I don't want to draft Mac Jones. What I would do if I was Washington is I would try to get a veteran who could come in. I mean, Andy Dalton's better than Alex Smith, but really, Mac Jones to me is an Alabama quarterback, which means he distributes the ball to receivers that are wide open all the time. And that's the thing I saw. When I go back and I watch Tua film from when he was when his last season there, is the he had issues throwing guys open. I say it again, and that is a huge thing. And when I see him play in Miami and he can't throw them open, he can only throw to an open receiver, then that's all of a sudden when you're throwing for 100 yards in three quarters. Ryan Fitzpatrick can actually throw guys open. So I think this, I was completely wrong on Tua. I'm going to pull off the Tua train before he's even started 9 games just because I don't want to look like a moron, because when I watch him play, he's not an NFL quality top half of the league quarterback. He was a bad pick by the Miami Dolphins, and they're a mess right now. Mac Jones to me would just be putting a bigger, wider version of, Tua there. So, I mean, when I look at it, there's no quarterback in this draft unless one of those other guys slips. And, I mean, hell, if Justin Fields was to slip, would you really want to take a shot at another Ohio State quarterback? So they got to do it in free agency. So the Jalen Mayfield pick to me is fine. But I can also tell you this, with their lack, they could use some more weapons on offense. I mean, this is a place for the tight end to go to, Kyle Pitts. But I think Mayfield would be a great pick because, really, I always say you build the O-line and a D-line. They've already got a great D-line. If they could build a great O-line, the Chargers, I mean, it's off the hook what they could do. And even if you have to roll with Alex Smith if he plays again, or the Heinicke? Whatever the hell his name is. He may not be that bad. So maybe you take a risk of going with those two and just building this team up. And it may be in the next year or two you get a quarterback or Heinicke or whatever the hell his name is, turns out to be an all right quarterback. But I think Alex Smith is just a guy. I mean, Alex Smith is just a guy that did remarkable things, but he's still not a remarkable quarterback. I mean, his story is great, but let's not sell it like this dude is just throwing bombs and playing his ass off. He played great for a guy who almost died on the field, which a guy that almost died on the field is better than Dwayne Haskins. That's all I got to say there. Number 20, the Chicago Bears. When he was laying there dying, he was better than Dwayne Haskins. Number 20, Chicago Bears, Wyatt Davis.
Yeah, and this could change because Wyatt Davis, I had drawn up the official draft of this before the national championship game, but Wyatt for an injury there. Officially, it is yet. If it's a severe injury, you might see him go in the first round. There are concerns about his lack of versatility on the inside. You're probably going to have him locked in at guard. Chicago needs to establish some kind of run game here. Because right now, the quarterback situation, they're bringing back Matt Nagy and the general manager, which I'm not a fan of the general manager especially. I don't know if you're going to have a good quarterback next year. You're going to have to be able to run the ball. Wyatt Davis is a mauler in the running game. That's his specialty. Bringing someone in who's big, strong, playing the injury, you have an open guard to fill. So I think Wyatt Davis could go here. There's a lot of roads the Chicago Bears could take. I deem Wyatt Davis.
I'm watching Wyatt Davis's film right now. He plays at Ohio State.
What do you like? What do you not like?
He plays at Ohio State. I never liked that, but. Did they play him at guard or tackle? I thought he was a guard, wasn't he?
They played him at guard.
All right. He moves his feet all right, but to me, he plays high and he leans. And that is usually the problem with Ohio State guys where they catch, if you know what I mean. Instead of a blocking a guy, you just kind of catch him. I think he's better than that. When I watch it, I don't think necessarily this guy's going to be a stud. And to me, I mean, I'm watching him here, and he's blocking guys. His highlight film was almost all blocking safeties on the second level, which he didn't have to block anybody on the first level. I mean, he's not a bad guy. But to me, when I watch him pass block, he doesn't really kick step, and he just kind of stands there and catches guys. And that's what Billy Price did. Or not Billy Price, but Michael Jordan, the guy that got drafted by the Bengals from Ohio State in the fourth round like 3 years ago, when I watched these film, he would just run out and catch guys. Now, Wyatt Davis isn't that bad, but I would be really concerned about possibly taking Wyatt Davis that high in this draft. I mean, he's better than Billy Price, but...
I agree. Well, I don't think he takes that even better than Billy Price.
I watch him here lock up guys, and when he locks them up, he stops his feet. I mean, guys that are coming head up, he just kind of mauls them. And the thing is this, in the NFL, it's really hard to be a mauler, unless maybe you're that Alabama guy that's like 6'6 and weighs 5,000 pounds. But, I mean, when I look at Wyatt Davis, I see a mauler. I'm not big on maulers. I want guys that can move their feet and get out and block. If this was 1978, a mauler would be great. But right now, maulers just seem to get in your own way and mess up your own blocking scheme, because most of these teams anymore are running zone blocking schemes. I'm not huge on Wyatt Davis. I'm not huge on Ohio State offensive linemen. It may just be because Billy Price, though. That may not be fair. The Indianapolis Colts, Kadarius Toney, wide receiver out of Florida. This is another spot where if Kyle Pitts is there, I would draft Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I think I couldn't figure out necessarily where I wanted to put him. And now you're bringing up the Colts. That probably would have been a better spot to have him than I do. He definitely will go before where I have him going, throwing stuff at the wall here, smalling, see what sticks right now.
Well, the key thing is, the Colts need a pass catcher. We know the Colts got two or three solid guys. Yeah, and I mean, the thing is this. Kyle Pitts is more like having a wide receiver. You can line him up on the perimeter. You can line him up in the slot. You can put him at tight end. You can do whatever you want with him. And when I look at Kadarius Toney, I think that's a guy that somewhere between probably 5 and 8. I think he's a dangerous receiver, good runner, good returner. I think he'll be a dynamic weapon. He can play outside slot receiver and some running back even. But, you know, he's a dangerous player, but he's missed a lot of games, especially in 2019. And he's 5'11", 190. And that size worries me. I mean, to take a beating in the NFL is completely different than taking a beating in college. And in college, he missed a lot of time.
Yeah, the injuries could be holding him back here. And like, this is a guy who probably won't be a superstar, get you 1,400 yards in a year kind of guy. He'll be a complimentary player to someone like a Michael Pittman Jr. who has the size and the physicality that Tony might have.
All right, what do you got next? I'll let you read that name too. Is Osai?
Yeah, that makes for that. It's Joseph. I have not actually heard this how to say it. Joseph Osai. I'm going to go with that and say it's Osai. But the Titans need someone on the defense. The Titans need a lot of defensive help right now. And I think starting on defense, they signed Vic Beasley in the offseason. That didn't work out. They signed Damian Klein during the season. That didn't work out either. Both those guys are gone or going to be free agents. So Osai off solution along with Jeffrey Simmons, who's a very good defensive tackle who you drafted a couple of years ago. And Landers on the other side. Suddenly, you've good pieces in the middle, and hopefully, you can fix that defense. If you're Michael, I just think you have to pick defense here, no matter what.
Why would this be the guy you would pick at the end?
Isn't he like the best? I think he's the best available. I mean, I can't scroll down here, so I'll scroll down on the actual live. But not any other pieces here, like defensive end clock break. You're not getting a lot of edge rushers in this year, especially top end guys.
Well, in the first round, he's not worth a first round pick. I mean, that's
is there someone you would think on the board who would be worth the spot?
Well, I'm not somebody that thinks just because I need this position, I got to pick it. I mean, I'm more the guy that's going to take the best player available in most cases, especially in the first round. That's just the kind of guy I am.
Yeah.
I mean, if we look at it defensive end wise, who do you have gone so far? You got Russo gone, correct?
Russo gone.
Pay.
Payne's gone.
What about Carlos Basham?
I think that's it. I've not given out Carlos Basham yet.
Because I think Carlos Basham is better.
All right. You like the Wake Forest guy. Okay.
Yeah, I've always been a big Wake Forest fan. All right, number 23, the New York Jets. You've got to pick a Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. I think running backs are overvalued. Everybody thinks that. But I think Najee Harris is kind of different. I think he's undervalued just because you watch him block, you watch him run with the ball, he can catch the ball. He's a triple threat. He's a hell of a player. My only case is this. I would damn near go somewhere else and maybe try to get the Sermon kid in late second round or late third round.
That's just that because would be the argument here. There's also guys. I think there's other guys like Javon Timms and Michael Carr from University of North Carolina who are also very good runners who could get in the second or third round. A lot of teams might try to go that route. The issue is that if everyone goes that route, then all these running backs are napped up together in somewhere like a span of 10 to 15 picks, and they're all going to be gone immediately. So if you miss, you wait too long, you're going to miss out on all of them. Najee Harris is a special running back who I think could slip out of the way running backs are valued in the NFL right now. But he's a first-round talent. He's that good of a player.
I don't think he'll slip out of the first round. I'll tell you what, if I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'd be all over him. I'm not big on James Conner. You know that. In love with James Conner. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Etchenberg.
I like James Conner.
You've got Pittsburgh taken. Was it Eckenberg or whatever it is, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame? If I was the Jets, that's who I would take. Because that's what the Jets need to build a team.
Go with Eichenberg. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that Eichenberg's that great, but I would go with the offensive tackle there. You get the Pittsburgh Steelers at 24. Would you really rather have them take that kid or Kyle Pitts if Kyle Pitts was there?
I would say Kyle Pitts should go much higher than he does in this mock draft. But I'm a lineman desperately. I'm not joking around here. You don't have an offensive line next year. You're not going anywhere. Because the young guys
are tired. You don't have a quarterback either. You don't have a quarterback either, so you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but if you sign Andy Dalton, that all goes away. If you sign James Winston, that goes away temporarily. You can push that to another year.
It doesn't necessarily go away if it's Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston. No, we don't really know what we get with Jameis Winston. We have a pretty good idea. We have a pretty good idea what we get with Dalton.
Yeah.
And that is your offensive line had to be a hell of a lot better than that to win anything. Number 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Kyle Pitts. This would be a great pick for if Urban Meyer's the coach and Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback. But my question is this. You just said you need offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, I did say that. But the issue is a lot of the good offensive linemen are gone already. I think I gave out, what, 5 or 6 already at this point?
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. I know.
It's your new best.
The Tucker kid from USC. I only give you a hard time, though, if I like you, so you can ask anybody. If not, if I leave you alone, it means I have no interest in even being around you.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see. Like I said, I would take the Tucker kid at tackle, but I would take Pitts, especially if I've got a young quarterback. The best friend of a young quarterback is a really good tight end that can catch the ball. 26, the Cleveland Browns, Eric Stokes, cornerback, Georgia.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about this pick. I think they will go somewhere along the defense here. They have the offensive piece they need. The offensive line finally looks great, so they don't really have to worry about that this year. They've got tight ends. They've basically filled out so many picks and so many guys in free agency at this point. You don't have a lot of worries. I think the defensive backfield is still a concern. I think it's probably the biggest flaw of this unit, maybe outside the linebacking group, and there's not many linebackers left at this point. To nab, I am worried about Stokes. Because it's the first mock of the year, and I'm willing to take some risks. Stokes does give me some concerns, though. I'm worried that this is just another mediocre corner who understand why some people have him going in the first round.
All right, I think Rodarius Williams is better from Oklahoma State.
All right. Got him going higher?
No, I don't think he's that good. But I just said I thought he was better. I don't think the corners are that great in this draft. I think the team that's really – I would hope the Cleveland Browns would pick Sean Wade because I think Sean Wade is absolutely horrible. I think he'd be a great first-round pick for the Browns.
Yeah, I think Sean Wade – you know what? Sean Wade would fit right in Cleveland Greedy Williams.
All right, 27, Travis Etienne. That's a Clemson homer pick. That is not a first-round pick. We get to say about that.
Well, what do you mean? Travis first round player?
I only think Najee Harris is a first round running back. And that's in the bottom 10. And Najee Harris is a lot better than Travis Etienne.
He's better in pass protection. I'll give you that for sure.
That is also a big thing to me.
Actually better in the receiving game as well.
Yeah, that's the two big things to me. The way offense, it's Cordy, what kind of offense you're running? I mean, if you just want to line Travis Etienne up and run the ball, that's fine. But that's not how the NFL works today. I like Harris better. If you just wanted a straight runner, I don't know. What about Kenny Gainwell, the running back from Memphis?
Really, you're bringing him into this conversation. I didn't see that coming.
Because I think Kenny Gainwell may be the best. How about this? I think Kenny Gainwell is the second best running back in this draft. I watched him play last year. He's electric. He was a redshirt in 19. And, you know, he averaged 6.3 yards per carry. 1,459 yards with 13 touchdowns. He did not play this season because before the season started, you know, he lost four family members to COVID-19. He's fast. He's explosive. He could rip off a big play at any point. 5'11", 191. He could stand to get a little stronger. He'll probably put on 10 or 15 pounds of weight. Probably already has. I think this. Yeah, I think Kenny Gainwell's a guy. Kenny Gainwell's a guy that if he drops a 4.42 to a 4.45 in the combine, will be one of the stars at a combine. I think he's a guy that's highly overlooked. If you watch the Cincinnati Bearcats defense against Georgia, you know, Georgia couldn't run the ball against them. Nobody could run the ball against them this year. The last guy that could was Kenny Gainwell last year. The only two games Cincinnati lost were the last two games of the year in the regular season and in the AAC championship game against Memphis. And Kenny Gainwell was a big reason for that. So, to me, I would take Gainwell over Etienne.
I would never do that, but I can see what you're saying. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right now, and they do look impressive. He's a dual threat back. Gives you some of that. I don't know. You should see how much he's improved physically in the past year. That will be something. If he gets up to, if he balloons up to 205 or something like that, that'd be impressive.
Yeah, if he comes up 205 and it's muscle, yeah. And I think, like I said, the combine is going to be huge for him. The Baltimore Ravens will take Alijah Vera Tucker, offensive lineman from USC. The Ravens need offensive linemen. They need weapons at wide receiver also. And, of course, you know, you never know when they might jump a running back. But I think that this would be the correct pick for them here.
Yeah, and we've talked about in the past, you build from the front back, whether that's on the defense or the offense, you start with the line. And Vera Tucker is a very versatile guy. You can move him around all the places you want, basically. And you have Ronnie Staley coming off a serious injury so far. And you're going to lose a couple guys in free agency. So you have to have a versatile player who can move around. I think this is a perfect fit for Baltimore. Fits their needs, and he's just a very good player.
All right, number 29, New Orleans Saints. You got taking Nick Bolton, linebacker out of Missouri.
Yeah, now you have a very different linebacking core than you did a couple of years ago. You have Zach on the outside, Nick Bolton on the outside, potentially DeMario Davis as well. You want to shake that up, but they are losing Alex Anzalone to free agency this year, so you're going to have to do something with that linebacking group. And it's, I mean, they have an embarrassment of riches. The big question will be the quarterback situation this offseason. But assuming they get that fixed, you have basically everyone else you need at every other position on the field.
Yeah. Saints are in pretty good shape. If they could just win a playoff game or finish a playoff game. Next up, where are we at? Number 30, Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, Alabama.
Yeah, you know, they're coming off the board here. And I originally thought it would be better for them to go cornerback here. Someone like De'Ron Kendrick, who I knew was very new to the position, still kind of raw. But he's going back to Clemson for his senior year. So he's off the board, and I wasn't going to give them Sean Wade. So I decided to go with Alex Leatherwood instead, try to give him an offensive line because they are losing a guy, I think a right tackle in free agency, so they're going to have to plug someone in there. And Alex Leatherwood's best tackle on the board, I think, left, unless you consider Sam Cosmi to be the best guy around.
I don't know. I'm not sure on Leatherwood. I mean, he looks like he's got good feet. He's got good size, got good length. I think he's good in speed pass rushers. I kind of question his ability to, you know, block in the run game a little bit, especially an NFL run game. I could actually see Leatherwood falling in the middle or late second round even.
I could too. I mean, this is
– Yeah, I mean – you're kind of here where you're looking at offensive tackles with Leatherwood. I mean, to me, did you have Sam? Have we went over Sam Cosmi yet?
No, he's down at 32.
Yeah, because I think Cosby might be better. But I don't know if
he's... I agree.
I don't know if he's strong enough, though. Actually, after Tucker and Sewell, I mean, everybody else, I mean, I think that really those are the only two that are first-round picks. And and Tucker's just first-round pick because he's the second-best guy. I don't know if he is the... The only guy that I think for sure as an offensive tackle is worth a first round pick here is Penei Sewell.
Right.
Because
The first time it's how common is that where you have a situation where you're like, well, we know the one guy for sure, but we don't know about everyone else. Cause I think we're going to learn a little bit more the more time we have to watch these guys or more time at least to sit back and analyze what they've done already. But I mean, is it common to have a situation like this year where you're just not sure about everyone else?
It's hard to find offensive linemen, though, at any level of football. Yeah. And the problem is, if you're an offensive tackle at Texas, you're not just playing great teams all the time. If you're the offensive tackle at Alabama, you're not playing an NFL-type edge rusher all the time. So, I mean, the key here, and I haven't done it yet, but we will because on Rockfin we'll start doing exclusive shows just breaking these guys' films down. But I think the key here is to watch Texas when they play Oklahoma and see what Cosby does. I mean, whoever the best defensive ends are that he played against, watch those games because those games will tell you everything. Because a lot of times I've seen guys, perfect example, Big Daddy Wilkerson, the Bengals picked him at the top of the draft like 20 years ago. He was a horrible pick. And the thing is, he had all these great sack numbers. But when you watched his film, he got completely shut out against the Michigans and the Wisconsins and the Michigan States. He got all of his numbers against Illinois, Northwestern, and teams like that. So he ended up flaming out. 31, Green Bay Packers, Terrence Marshall, wide receiver out of LSU. I think this is a solid pick. They should have made this
last year. Yeah, they should have just helped last year. So they got a backup quarterback who might never see the field. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But Aaron Rodgers, he's now. He's asked for help last year. He's going to be the MVP this year. Give him what he wants. He wants help. Give him a second receiver to complement Devontae Marshall Jr. Averaged over 100 receiving yards this past season. He's an LSU wide receiver. They have a history of producing great players like Jamar Chase, like Justin Jefferson, even back to Jarvis Landry. You know, they've had success at wide receiver. I think Terrace Marshall is a good pick here.
Yeah, I think he's a solid player. He's a solid pick. I think he's better than Kadarius Toney, who you have much higher.
No, he could be. I think Kadarius Toney's a different kind of player, though. He's just a little bit more where he can line up a little more positions, but I think Terrace more traditional wide receiver option.
All right, 32, Kansas City Chiefs. You got Samuel Cosmi. We've already spoke about him a little bit.
Yeah, this is more situation. Having an embarrassment of riches, you could say the defensive help here. The best defensive players available are defensive tackles, and you really don't position. So you're the Chiefs. You're kind of in a spot where you should probably trade back if you want to do anything because the best players are probably left aren't really worth first-round picks, maybe outside of Sam Cosmi, who could be a depth for this year, could help plug and pay for the injury guys because you've had both your tackles in the past couple of seasons. And both your tackles just after next year. So you have to playing ahead of your Patrick Wilson for 10 years. So you have to plan ahead a little bit. And Cosmi is probably worth a fringe first round. You could see him go at 32, and it's probably decent value for this.
All right. I'm good with it, Sam. What the hell? All right, guys. Right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, some of the other guys, if you look here, the best players I think that are going to be left are probably going to be the interior defensive linemen. Guys like Jalen Twyman, Christian Barmore from Clemson for Alabama. These are the guys I think are probably going to be the best players left. I just don't know how many of them are going to come off the board in the first round.
All right, guys. Also, make sure you check out Replenishing Care and Technologies at rcandt.com. Even bigger than that is their CBD, the CBD Path of Purity, which is a sponsor for our show today and every day. You can check it out at pathofpurity.direct. /replenishing care /, and what you get with that is this. You get a 2-month supply at the price of 1 month. by clicking that path of purity.direct /replenishing care/. Make sure you check that out. Remember, this is the only time released 50 milligram CBD tablet. You take it in the morning. It gets in your system immediately. That's the big thing. You don't have to wait a few hours to feel anything. You get it right away, and it actually time releases throughout the day at different periods. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you go over to Rockfin, follow us there. You can sign up for a free account, cost nothing. Just use your email. You can hear us on Spotify and anchor.fm and pretty much everywhere else. I know Facebook is down today, so we weren't on there. Sam will be on there after I post his show to it. Tomorrow, the divisional playoff round. Steve Risley, former 1981 national champion from the Indiana Hoosiers, will be back with us. Also tomorrow, we will be running a Path of Purity show where James Comerford, who you would be getting that CBD from at Path of Purity, will be on the show to discuss that. That will be on later on in the day, probably right after the NFL show. But Sam, tomorrow, you got to beat Steve Risley because Steve Risley has been smoking you lately.
Yeah. Hey, beat you too last week, Mike. Let's not get past that. He also beat you.
Well, the thing is this, it doesn't matter because I don't keep count. I just keep count to see what you do. And so far, you've failed us miserably. So Sam will try to beat Steve to save his reputation. So make sure you check us out there. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the old-time boxing show with myself and Christopher Shelton. We will look back at the career with Jack Dempsey. We will even have film from the 1915 to 1930 area to watch film with Jack Dempsey. I know Sam Teets didn't even know the 1900s existed.
No, I've only known the 2000s. That's not actually true. I was born in 1999, but really, I've only known the 2000s.
All righty. Well, we're going to wrap it up. We will see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. Go watch Thelma and Louise and Hoosiers, Sam. So for now, for Sam Teets, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.